You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 3rd, 2020, President Trump today saying we will challenge what they did in Nevada. Yesterday, in a special session, the Democrat legislature of Nevada decided to expand mail-in voting for the general election. And, of course, the Democrat governor expected to sign it into law. President Trump says you're just trying to steal the election, make it impossible for Republicans to win in Nevada. We will see you in court. The Trump campaign, by the way, is relaunching ads with a focus on some critical early voting states. They'd shut down the ads for a while, but now the Elections 2020 director for the Trump campaign, Bill Stepien, says the countdown clock may show 91 days left in the race, but in reality, the election starts a lot sooner than that. In many states, more than half of the voters will cast their votes well before Election Day. Some of these ads focused in the early voting states of Arizona, Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina. Well, Joe Biden had promised he would announce his VP pick this week. That was a promise. Sources are now saying he's not going to do it this week. So they're going to roll it back and say, well, he'd also said in early August. So next week would still be early August. They're apparently having some real soul searching going on there. And I have to ask, do you think Biden has any decision making in this process? Or did he just sit there and say, tell me, and we'll go from there? Former President Obama stepping forward to endorse more than 100 Democrat candidates running for office this November. More than 100. This includes federal, statewide, state legislative offices, 17 states. But pay attention to this. He left one name off the list of his endorsements. He did not endorse Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. On the others, he said, I'm proud to endorse this diverse, hopeful collection of thoughtful, empathetic, and highly qualified Democrats. Anything I just read, does that say maybe why he did not give AOC an endorsement? President Trump says he will back down on his plan to ban that popular short video app, TikTok, allowing Microsoft 45 days to negotiate a purchase. A Chinese tech company owns it. There's been concern that they have access to sensitive user data. Everyone using TikTok, China looking well into your history, everything about you, following you, documenting you. So the president said, we're going to shut it down in the U.S. But he will allow Microsoft a chance to buy it, so it's held by a U.S. company. The World Health Organization is saying the coronavirus pandemic will be lengthy and lockdowns will continue for some time. This comes as millions in the U.K., millions over the age of 50 are warned you will be given orders to stay at home indefinitely. They're not happy. The White House, considering unilateral actions with the coronavirus aid bill currently stuck in Congress, a lot of the debate has to do with how much the employment benefits, how should they be given. California Democrats, they have a new way to help their state, not the citizens, the state. They're going to raise the top personal income tax rate, which is already the highest in the nation at 13.3%. They're going to raise it to 16.8% retroactive to January 1 of this year. You think they'll be surprised if more folks leave California? Chicago Dateline from, no, it's a Chicago representative, state representative LaShawn Ford. He wants to abolish history classes in Illinois until there's a new curriculum. He's concerned that all the history teachings are nothing but white privilege and racism. Throw out the history books of the state of Illinois, so he says. St. Louis Zoo had a new baby elephant named Avi, male calf, living only 27 days, not able to ingest food, keep it, and finally had to be euthanized. They still don't know exactly what happened. It's a loss, understandably, for a baby elephant born in captivity, and they were hoping to have for the zoo. No, I've not seen anybody state the elephant died of COVID. But it wouldn't surprise me if that story starts going around. So it goes.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my own stud Leroy, and the girls say, save a horse.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We want more debates. We want debates starting sooner. First debate scheduled for September 29th. By that time, 16 states will already have been voting by September 29th. That's a concern to me.
That is Bill Stepien. He is the 2020 campaign manager for the Trump campaign, and saying we want more debates and we want them quicker. In the meantime, the Democrats are looking at ways to try to get out of the debate. In the last hour, I read a section from an opinion columnist from the New York Times saying that, we would like to see the debates basically scrapped, that they don't mean anything, that we might as well get rid of them, that there's really never a winner, so let's just get rid of them. They don't want to concede that Biden might lose. It's just the fact that they don't really mean anything. But there is growing fear that Biden is not going to be capable of being on a stage for any length of time, especially one-on-one. Now, last week, we ran some cuts from one of my favorite people I like to run sound bites from, and James Carville used to represent the Bill Clinton campaign, and He said, Joe Biden had just knocked the poop out of that old man over there talking about Trump. Well, he didn't use those words, but that's pretty much what it came down to. And he said, I think Biden could hold his own against Trump in a debate. He said, look how he debated the others in the field when he was running in the primary debates. Yeah, but again, Biden had time for others to be on the spotlight and time to gather his thoughts, and it wasn't just rapid fire. Kind of like if you're in the class and the teacher asks a question, you think, Oh, don't call on me. I don't know that one. I don't really know. Don't call on me. Thank goodness they called on Sally. They ask another question. Oh, I don't know that one either. Don't call on me. Don't call. And finally, they do. And finally, you got to say, I don't know. Well, so you hear the Trump campaign saying we want more debates and sooner. The first debate is scheduled September 29. Several states are already starting early voting by the end of this month and the beginning of September. By September 29, 16 states will have already been voting. And, of course, a lot of them mail-in balloting because of the fear of the pandemic. But what we have right now is the left looking for a way to get out of it. And to that extent, let me call your attention to something that happened on CNN. Michael Smirkonish, you may not know the name, he's one of their anchors or whatever on the program. And he was talking about this whole idea about maybe Biden shouldn't be on the debate stage. Basically referring to remarks made by Joe Lockhart, former Bill Clinton press secretary and now a CNN political analyst. Lockhart wrote a commentary. And in his commentary, he advised Joe Biden not to debate Donald Trump. That was in an op-ed he published just last week at CNN.com. Was it because he thought Biden could not handle Trump, that he would lose? No, they want to find another way. They want to say, Trump has so many lies that come out of his mouth, Biden would have to spend all his time fact-checking and arguing every fact of anything Trump said. All right, let's break this down. Let me go back to the CNN desk and Michael Smirkonish talking about the Lockhart commentary.
We're just 59 days away from the first presidential debate between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. But for weeks, some political experts have been raising the question, would Biden be better off skipping the debates? Former Clinton White House Press Secretary Joe Lockhart wrote an op-ed for CNN.com titled, Joe Biden Could Still Lose This Election. And as I read it, I was struck by this provocative paragraph. Quote, whatever you do, don't debate Trump. Trump has now made more than 20,000 misleading or false statements, according to the Washington Post. It's a fool's errand to enter the ring with someone who can't follow the rules or the truth. Biden will undoubtedly take heat from Republicans and the media for skipping the debates, but it's worth the risk, as trying to debate someone incapable of telling the truth is an impossible contest to win.
Now, that's Smirkonish giving you pretty much what I said about the Lockhart commentary and a little bit more detail. And then he brought Lockhart in for part of an interview based off of that. But before we do that, since they're so big about pointing out that Trump is always misstating facts and so forth, and that Biden is right on the facts all the time, I'm looking at something here that points out that in the debate with Alaska Governor Sarah Palin in 2008, Biden made several false claims, including the odd claim that the U.S. and France had, quote, kicked Hezbollah out of Lebanon. Hezbollah, an Iranian-backed terrorist group with an associated political ring, is still very much in Lebanon and is a major part of Lebanon's government. So he was way off base on that. And also in 2012, Biden had then debated then-Congressman Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin. And Biden at one point claimed that the Obamacare was not forcing religious institutions to provide contraceptive coverage. Did he not know about the lawsuit brought by the Little Sisters of the Poor, that Catholic order that had been required to pay for contraception, and saying, we don't want to do that. We're Catholic. We don't believe in contraceptives, and we don't want to have to pay for it in our insurance policies. But they want to say the problem will be Trump and his incorrect statements. All right, so I think I've set the table pretty well for you. Let's go back to Smirkonish, Michael Smirkonish of CNN. You understand what Lockhart had said last week. Smirkonis would kind of review it just briefly and then flat out ask Joe Lockhart, who wrote it, what do you mean? Here we go.
Joe, if the president is watching this right now, I could see him rubbing his hands together and saying, oh, my God, that would be perfect. Because then I, of course, get to say he's afraid to get on the stage with me. It has to do with his cognitive abilities.
Yeah, well, he will say that. And I think, as I wrote in the article, it's worth the risk. You know, this is a president who, as I said in the article, is incapable of telling the truth. He spins these conspiracy theories out there. And up till now, most of those theories are broadcast by Fox News and, you know, on his Twitter feed. And, you know, most Americans don't see that. The debates are very different. This is the one thing, you know, now that we're not really going to have conventions where the public will tune in, you know, 50, 60 million people. And they will see all of this nonsense from him. He will take the truth and destroy it. And Biden will be in the position of correcting him over and over and over again. I don't think he should give him that platform.
You see how they're spinning it? Trump would be misstating everything all the time. And so Biden basically had to be the fact checker. And so he won't be able to make his own points. He's got to jump in and correct Donald Trump. I don't think Biden would be qualified to correct or challenge Trump on any of the facts. Will Trump misstate something? It's possible. Will Biden misstate something? It's possible. What I really think is at play here is they don't really want this to happen. They know how vulnerable Biden is at this point. Former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino, also a conservative pundit, said that he's getting sources telling him, sources who are close to the situation. Dan Bongino saying that former Vice President Joe Biden suffering a rapid cognitive decline. And that's according to sources close to the Biden camp. In a Facebook post yesterday, he wrote, not a joke, not hyperbole, I'm hearing from people close to the situation that Biden's cognitive decline is rapidly worsening, and is becoming increasingly difficult to mask. The Democrats are going to have to make a decision soon. Last September, in Houston, during the presidential debates for the Democrat Party at that time, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Julian Castro brought up the issue of Biden's mental decline on the debate stage. Biden had claimed that he had not said people had to buy in to his health care plan. And Castro said, quote, are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago? Now later he said, I didn't mean to challenge his memory or anything. I was just part of the debate. But if Biden's suffering like that, it's not going to do him any good. It's not going to do the Democrat Party, obviously. And if they can get out of these debates, they will. The New York Times piece I was telling you earlier, published just today, just this morning, let's scrap the presidential debates, an op-ed piece arguing there's no need for it. Elizabeth Drew writing it for the New York Times. I'll get into more detail of that in a moment. But can they find a way to get Biden not to participate and yet not make it look like he's ducking the debate because he's incapable, not just to debate in general, but he's reaching a stage in his mental cognitive abilities that it would be a disaster? I got to tell you, I would get no joy or laughs over Biden on the stage if he suddenly tanks on some of these things like that. I mean, we're all going to get old and older. We pray and hope it's better than the alternative. But sometimes the alternative also includes you don't die, but you begin to lose your rational thinking and hold on everything. I've known friends who had parents, grandparents, go through dementia. It's a scary situation for them suffering and for those around them. If that's the situation for Joe Biden, he should not be on that stage. But again, the Trump campaign manager, Bill Stepien, says, I think it's critical that we have it. He said this is exactly why the public should see Joe Biden on the stage in comparison to Trump. Bill Stepien.
I want to see President Trump on the debate stage against Joe Biden. As you're noting, we're already seeing the liberal left, the liberal media trying to create trapdoors for Joe Biden to escape his commitment and his obligation to debate Donald Trump on a debate stage in front of the American people.
And I've already laid out some of them for you. I mean, from Lockhart a moment ago, saying, well, Joe Biden had spent all his time trying to correct Trump. And then others are saying it just doesn't have any value anymore. Even a month ago, New York Times column urging Biden not to participate. Let me go back to that. And also, let's break down this latest op-ed in the New York Times that occurred just this morning. It's not looking good for Joe Biden or the Democrats on the debate stage.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So again, keep in mind that 16 states are going to be voting before September 29th. That's the schedule of the first Trump-Biden debate. The Trump team wants to see it happen sooner, debate sooner than that. Democrats are looking for a way, as according to Bill Stepien, the campaign manager for Donald Trump, they're looking for trap doors so Joe Biden can escape doing a debate. It even started last month. New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman urging Biden, do not participate in these three upcoming debates unless Trump agrees to two conditions. It should be said that Trump releases tax returns from 2016 to 2018, and both campaigns agree on having a real-time fact-checking team at the spot at that moment. Well, of course, that's the same thing that the fact-finding issue is, that supposedly Trump would be misstating facts all the time and Biden would have to be correcting him all through the debate. That was the issue raised by Joe Lockhart in his opinion column. Joe Lockhart, former Bill Clinton campaign advisor, also saying that I don't think Biden should go on the stage. And then you got the New York Times op-ed appearing just this morning, written by Elizabeth Drew. She said, this, by the way, isn't written out of any concern that Donald Trump will prevail over Joe Biden in the debates. Mr. Biden has done just fine in a long string of such contests. She says, the point is, debates are meaningless. Nervous managers of the scheduled 2020 presidential debates are shuffling logistics, locations, to deal with the threat of the coronavirus, but here's a better idea. Scrap them all together, and not for health reasons. The debates have never made sense as a test for presidential leadership. In fact, one could argue that they reward precisely the opposite of what we want in a president. Now, do you think she would have said that watching the Nixon-JFK debates? Do you think she would have said it shows nothing as to who could be a better leader? She goes on to say, when we were serious about the presidency, we wanted intelligence, thoughtfulness, knowledge, empathy, and to be sure, likability. It should also go without saying, dignity. And, of course, she makes her point very clear. But then she calls Trump the most disastrous president in our history. Well, then why don't you want Biden on the stage to call him out as being the most disastrous president? Because they do fear the ability of Biden to carry out the debate. And as I said earlier, if he's truly suffering from beginnings of dementia, Alzheimer's, any kind of thing that affects his cognitive thinking, it would not be fair to the man. And I would not get any joy out of watching a man or woman stand up there and be thrown into that situation where they look like they're just drowning, flailing away in the water. Now, I'm not talking about the benefit for Trump or the how it would help hurt the Democrats or anything else. I'm just saying that on a personal level, it would be shameful. But we do need to see how Biden can handle it. We'll see if they go through with it. Big tech, of course, is standing ready to help when they can. They did in the past with Hillary. Remember that? When we resume, Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker, he tells you.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If you Googled and asked the Republican Party before the primary of California Republican Party, they said we were Nazism. 90% of all searches on the Internet go through Google. They have a tremendous amount of power, but now they're utilizing it for their own personal bias. And Breitbart has been on the forefront of showing that. But there was no stronger indication of that than what did Twitter do to Donald Trump Jr. even before it? Simply because he put up a video, they put him like in Twitter jail. And how many other things have we seen that they have done in the past? We have watched it over and over, the bias against conservative view instead of a free speech.
That is House GOP leader, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, Republican, California, in a Breitbart News interview on the Patriot Channel over the weekend. And to show my failing cognitive abilities from time to time, as we were going to break, I said, Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House. Obviously, he's not Speaker of the House, Larry. Democrats control the House. That would be Nancy Pelosi. I'll give you a quick excuse, if you can take it or not, but I'm trying to get that in, and I'm realizing I also want to tease something about Pelosi in this segment, who is the Speaker of the House, about some video going around that makes her look like she's totally drunk or drugged out. I do want to deal with that a little bit later, but I failed. I was trying to multitask, and I failed. Let me put it that way. Kevin McCarthy is a House GOP leader. He's not Speaker of the House. But his words about big tech and the power big tech weighs in elections. Now, of course, we had all the big tech guys up in D.C. the other day answering questions at Congress and everything, and basically acting like, well, we just do things the way we should do them. We don't do anything to help one candidate or the other. Kevin McCarthy just pointed out to you, he said that during the primary election last time around, if you Google the Republican Party of California, they said we were Nazis. And he added correctly, 90% of all searches on the internet go through Google. That is a tremendous amount of power. And he mentioned the thing that Twitter did the other day to Donald Trump Jr. Remember why Donald Trump Jr. got in so-called Twitter jail for a period of time and had his account basically restricted for 12 hours? All he did was retweet some of the event of the doctors in white coats appearing on the House steps or congressional steps talking about the value, as they saw it, of hydroxy in dealing with COVID. And something like 17 million were watching that live stream as it went out. Trump Jr. saw it, and he kind of made a reference to it and said, it's interesting, it's something to be discussed. He didn't even endorse it, just said it's worthy of interest and paying attention. But they decided that's fake, and we're going to challenge Donald Trump Jr. and take him off. And yet the other stuff they let go, just like the New York Times on its op-ed pages, not going to allow Senator Cotton to make some statements because they figured that was going to be wrong, but they basically give the whole paper over to a Taliban terrorist to write whatever articles he wants. But the tech community, you get into Twitter and Facebook and Google and all of these guys, it's extremely incestuous. Not just because of cross-ownership, but because of the way they tend to do things. And McCarthy also made it clear that when you're watching big tech and the monopoly power it has, he said they can control and redirect anything they choose to any way they want to. Listen.
Remember, when I brought the CEO in, when we were working in the majority, they then put a letter out to make sure there was no bias, they said. And what are they doing now? Complete opposite. It's a real concern to me of what individuals try to use technology to influence an election. But more importantly, they're trying to stop the voice of conservatism out there. But it's not just one entity itself. It seems as though it comes from almost all of those in the tech sector up there. And remember, they control so much. Just two companies control YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Google. And those are some of the biggest avenues to ever get any message out.
And they are not conservative-based. We know that. They are more liberal, and they clearly show it. They show it in the things they decide to restrain and cap down or shut down compared to what they allow to go out. And yet there are also times that even the Democrats get caught in the web. And Facebook hasn't done anything about this next one. I should say Facebook and, it is Facebook that it appeared on. They put up one of their warning labels. I'll bet Nancy's not happy they just put up a warning label. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Several folks have already sent this to me. I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't, you can just Google Nancy Pelosi and pictures or something. It'll pop up on almost anything you put up there. It's similar to something, by the way, that came out, I want to say, several months ago. Well, actually, more I think about it, it was back in May 2019. I got hearing from me, May 2019. And at that time, with that false video of Pelosi, when it went on Facebook, she blasted Facebook for not removing it. Facebook at that time applied a fact-check label to it. That was back in May of this last year. No response from Nancy Pelosi's office this time around. It was also on Twitter for a while, but it got removed after 300,000 views, but Facebook apparently still out there going around and around, at least that's the way it was sent to me. What it shows is Nancy Pelosi absolutely looking like she is stone drunk and are on drugs and are marijuana and anything else she could ingest. It looks real. It doesn't look like it's edited in any way. But nowadays, things can be so slickly done. It deals with a press conference she gave back in May. CNN has a guy who's identified as a visual forensic expert and professor at the University of California, Berkeley. And he did review it yesterday and told CNN it's been edited and slowed down. He said it appears to be the same type of manipulation of the speaker that made the rounds last year. And he says following that incident over a year ago, previous video of Pelosi, a number of steps were taken at that point, according to representatives of Facebook, to make sure it didn't appear unchallenged in the future. Well, it's still back. But the Facebook fact-checking says we will just put it up there that it's incorrect, try to label it like that. So it also hurts the Democrats if it's abused, doesn't it? There's another story involving, as you probably, if you witnessed any sports or watched any sports over the weekend, you could not help but see, reference NBA, even hockey, Blues hockey as well, reference to Black Lives Matter. There's a Cuban business owner in Louisville that is taking part in a demonstration with fellow members of the Cuban community and expressed solidarity with Black Lives Matter protesters, even though he had called their recent demands in the city mafia tactics. The Louisville Courier-Journal had reported business owners in that area got letters from groups that demanded improved diversity of the community and in the workplace. And there was one release delivered by someone supposedly representing BLM. We don't know that for a fact, but that's what they were claiming, who told this Cuban business owner, put this letter in your front door to show that you support us so your business is not effed with. Martinez came to the U.S. on a raft at age 18. He knows what injustice is, fleeing Cuba. But this demands laid out in this letter include a minimum of 23% of the staff being black, buying at least 23% of the goods from black-owned retailers and other such items. And Martinez says, how can I be called a bigot and a racist when my family is black? When my son is gay, I'm the proud father of a gay son, and I'm going to fight for him against anybody. But because he would not post that up there immediately, he started getting labeled as racist. And the president and the CEO of the Louisville Urban League went on Facebook, said, I will never again go to that restaurant. And wonders, quote, why any human other than a racist would choose this time to tell us how little our lives matter. Because he would not fully endorse Black Lives Matter and put up their manifesto in his window. He participated in a rally for them, but if he didn't do exactly what they wanted, they dropped the heat on him. You want to hear what Herschel Walker said about BLM in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, the NBA and MLB are back on TV. The NBA starting off its season over the weekend. And, of course, some of the players wearing their social justice messages on their jerseys as they chose to. LeBron James not wearing one. And when he came to the national anthem in one of the games, the Nets against Magic, Orlando Magic, all the players took a knee during the national anthem except for Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac. Became the first to stand of the NBA, I should say, to stand for the national anthem. He later said, I didn't think, quote, putting that shirt on and kneeling went hand in hand with supporting black lives. And he added, for me, black lives are supported through the gospel. All lives are supported through the gospel. That's his opinion, his take on it. If you're going to allow others to do what they want, you got to accept this man for what he said. That's his position. And, of course, when it came to hockey, you saw all the players standing on ice during the national anthem. Except if you were watching the one between the Oilers and Chicago Blackhawks. One of the players took a knee, Minnesota Wild's Matt Dumba. 26-year-old taking a knee during the national anthem. Then when they played the Canadian national anthem, he stood. That obviously infuriates Americans even more. And he had to admit later, yeah, that Canada has a lot of oppression that's happened in Canada. In fact, he said, I know First Nations and Aboriginal families that have lived in Canada and been, you know, treated poorly all these decades as well. He said, I regret I didn't go ahead and stay on one knee for the national Canadian anthem. A lot of folks just say, I want the sport, I'll watch the sport, I'll support it. But if you're going to put that in front of me each and every time, I just won't bother. And it's gotten to the point where it's causing so much backlash, I don't think it's doing the whole imprint, the whole effort of what the true idea of Black Lives Matter you think would be. And I'm not talking about the marches, I'm talking about getting rid of racism. Are the people still racist in this country? Yes. Is it systemic as it was? No. You know who Herschel Walker is? Former professional football player, 12 seasons in the NFL. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's been eligible since 2003. 8,200 yards rushing. Terrell Davis and Larry Zonka are in the Hall of Fame. They had less yards rushing than Herschel Walker. He was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1999. He played at one time for the Cowboys, the leader of the Vikings, the Eagles, the Giants. Won the 1982 Heisman Trophy. Herschel Walker, a black man. I'm sure you knew that, but just in case you didn't. He posted something on his Facebook video the other day. You need to listen, please.
For the first time in a long time, I stopped in the middle of my workout because last night I saw something that really, really disturbed me. I saw a bunch of people holding a BLM sign, burning the Holy Bible, burning the flag of the United States of America, also burning a cross. And I started thinking that, you know, NFL, NBA, WNBA, MLB, is this the people you're supporting right now? Is it the movement? Is it the organization? Because I don't think that's right. You know, maybe, you know, Washington, we can't not continue to sweep stuff underneath the rug, because sooner or later we're going to stumble. People, are we being fooled?
People, are we being fooled? NFL great Herschel Walker, said those holding BLM signs, burning the Bibles, the American flag. He also said, wake up America. And again, back to the NBA player the other day, Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac, became the first NBA player to stand for the national anthem. He said, for me, black lives are supported through the gospel. All lives are supported through the gospel. He said, I feel like the Bible tells us we all fall short of God's glory. That will help bring us closer together, get past skin color, get past anything that's on the surface and doesn't really get into the hearts of men or women. I think it's a great statement from him and a great statement from Herschel Walker. You can agree or disagree. I do thank you for listening. And, of course, we got another program already working on it right now for tomorrow. We'll be here for you. Let your friends and family, even your enemies, know we're on the air. Tomorrow, book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.